I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, guys. Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
And you're here. Thanks for choosing the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Your quest for podcasts of the paranormal, supernatural, and the unexplained ends here. We invite you to enjoy all our shows we have on this network. And right now, let's start with Strange Things with Joshua P. Warren.
Welcome to our podcast. Please be aware the thoughts and opinions expressed by the host are their thoughts and opinions only and do not reflect those of iHeartMedia, iHeartRadio, Coast to Coast AM, employees of Premier Networks, or their sponsors and associates. We would like to encourage you to do your own research and discover the subject matter for yourself.
Strange Things with Joshua P. Warren.
I am Joshua P. Warren, and each week on this show, I'll be bringing you brand new, mind-blowing content, news, exercises, and weird experiments you can do at home, and a lot more on this edition of the show, REM sleep. You'll die without it. But why? You've heard about it your whole life, but what exactly is REM sleep? That's R-E-M. It stands for rapid eye movement. And did you know that only mammals, including humans, of course, and birds experience it? Now, what on earth could that mean? I'll dig more into that a bit later. And these lovely scientists discovered that if you prevent a rat from sleeping, it will die in 2 to 3 weeks. But if you let a rat sleep and you just wake it up every time it starts to enter REM sleep, it will still die. But it takes twice as long, 4 to 6 weeks. So that shows you the power and necessity of this REM sleep state. But what exactly is going on here? Well, let's start, as I often do, with some of the basic definitions, all right? Again, REM is R-E-M, rapid eye movement sleep, a unique phase of sleep in mammals and birds characterized by random, rapid movement of the eyes, accompanied by low muscle tone throughout the body, and the propensity of the sleeper to dream vividly. Okay, so you're lying there asleep. Maybe you're just completely oblivious to your existence, and then all of a sudden, under your eyelids, your little eyeballs start flickering around and flipping from side to side. And you get very relaxed. Your muscle tone drops. And suddenly you begin to have these incredible things called dreams. The REM phase is also known as paradoxical sleep because of the physiological similarities to waking states, including some rapid low voltage brain waves. And they say when you start breaking this down, and trust me, I'm not going to get into all the little nitty gritty scientific details because this is some complex stuff. But they say that when this happens to you and you start having these dreams as your body is, you know, jittery, your eyelids are getting jittery. There are a number of changes that happen in the brain. One of them, it says there is almost a complete absence of, here we go. You ready? Noradrenaline. Noradrenaline. I don't know how Alex Trebek used to pronounce all these words on TV. Noradrenaline. And I was like, what is noradrenaline? So if you look that up, it says this is an organic chemical that functions in the brain and body as a hormone and neurotransmitter and neuromodulator. And the general function of this noradrenaline is to mobilize the brain and body for action. So it is, again, lowest during sleep, and it rises during wakefulness and reaches much higher levels during situations of stress and danger in the so-called fight or flight response. So what I'm gathering from this is what happens, which is really weird, going back to this idea that we're talking about something called paradoxical sleep, is that when you're lying there and you enter this REM state and all of a sudden the dreams kick in, and there's a bear chasing you, the only reason you don't jump up out of bed and run into the wall is because some of these chemicals like noradrenaline are not allowing the body to react that way. The body is in more of a, well, a paralyzed state. And of course, some people become very conscious of that paralyzed state, and that makes them panic. And then we get stories like the old hag syndrome and these things related to traditional tales of sleep paralysis. So you have this combination of things happening where you are having this experience that is sometimes just as pronounced as if you were wide awake, but it's all happening in your head. And which actually, you know, it's funny. Let's break this down. All right. What exactly is the definition of a dream? Okay, a dream is a succession of images, ideas, emotions, and sensations that usually occur involuntarily in the mind during certain stages of sleep. Humans spend about 2 hours dreaming per night, and each dream lasts around 5 to 20 minutes, although the dreamer may perceive the dream as being much longer than this. It goes on to say, this has been, of course, the topic of a lot of research, scientific, philosophical, religious. Dream interpretation goes back thousands of years. Here's a trivia question for you. I don't think I've heard this word before. What do you think is the name of the scientific study of dreams? It's called, here's another one of those words, onerology. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. O-N-E-I-R-O-L-O-G-Y. Onerology, the scientific study of dreams. See, we learn things together on this podcast. And one thing that's interesting, when you start really reading into the idea behind dreaming and how it's defined, it's often referred to as a hallucination. So I said, well, what exactly is a hallucination? Well, a hallucination, so it says, is a perception in the absence of an external stimulus that has the qualities of a real perception. Interesting, huh? So basically, a hallucination is something that arises from within. That if I put you in a, I guess, like a sensory deprivation tank, and you start seeing rainbows and unicorns and cotton candy, that's a hallucination, I guess. But isn't that also kind of just like a thought? You know, you just imagine something and you can see it. Is it only a hallucination if you don't realize that it's a hallucination? Sometimes I wonder why I try to go down these rabbit holes here, but, I start thinking about all this stuff. And, you know, before we get back to like the weirdness behind how all this stuff affects, people and animals, you know, in episode 97 of this show called Strange Things, I talked about, buildings. Well, the show is called Where Do You Go When You Dream? And if you followed my work for years, you know, I'm always talking about being an extremely vivid dreamer. I think I dream even more than they say people are supposed to dream. That when as soon as I start falling asleep, I start dreaming and I dream until I wake up. And I also am pretty good at remembering my dreams. And they claim that most people don't remember a dream unless you wake them up in the middle of it. But I can remember a lot of my dreams that I've had. So I don't know if that's uncommon as well. But in this episode 97, I talked about how that throughout my life, it seems like that over and over again, when I have gone into the dream state, I have encountered, other landscapes. I call them dreamscapes, I guess. But sometimes they're more nightmarish. Nightmares and dreamscapes. But I have some of these common elements. I often find myself in what looks like some kind of a gigantic building. Something like a huge multi-story shopping mall. And sometimes there are skylights. There are big escalators. There's often like a theme park feeling to the whole place. And then on other occasions, and maybe other parallel worlds, I go into other places that are similar to like the look of that movie Sin City, places that are dingy and scary and full of weirdos and filthy places, even though I am the Wizard of Weird. And so I've often wondered if there is another location out there that your spirit can travel to sometimes in the dream state. Or is all of this just a hallucination? And what do you think happens when somebody who is congenitally blind? Okay. I'm talking about somebody like my cousin Jennifer, somebody who was born blind, was never able to see. What do you think happens to that person when he or she dreams? I'll get into that. And this weird connection between what humans and birds do this. Why not the reptiles, the amphibians? We're going to get into all that and a lot more when we come back. By the way, I have a special project coming up that I'm going to only participate. Well, let me put it this way. You can only participate with this project if you are an owner of an Electrum ring. The Electrum ring is an object, but it's also a symbol. It is a society. If you have an Electrum ring, one day we're all going to put our Electrum rings on all over the world, and I'm going to give you something I want us all to collectively manifest together. Okay. And we are going to start working on some projects. You are part of an elite group when you own an Electrum ring. And if you want to find out about all the cool opportunities that you can get to participate in experiments with me, just go to joshuapwarren.com. Right on the homepage, it says, click here for Joshua's free newsletter. You click that, takes you 2 seconds. You put your email address in there, hit submit. You'll get an automated email from me with links to all kinds of free goodies, online treats that will help you become a master manifester at lightning speed. There's no period after the P when you go to joshuapwarren.com and sign up for that free e-newsletter. I am Joshua P. Warren, and you are listening to Strange Things on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network, and I will be right back.
Don't go anywhere. There's more Strange Things coming right up.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. People don't always realize just how much their negative thoughts and experiences stick with them and weigh them down. You may find your brain constantly running through a highlight reel of bad moments. That comment your friend made last week that hurt your feelings. That frustrating thing your mom does. Or that silly thing you said in a meeting. Maybe it's time to get it all off your chest. Whether it's a tiny annoyance or something much bigger, talking about it can give you some relief and lead you to a potential solution. That's where therapy comes in. It's a safe space to share whatever's weighing you down and learn to process it so your internal highlight reel can focus on the good stuff. And BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy on a schedule that works for you. Connect with a licensed therapist by text, phone, or video call. Start the process in minutes and switch therapist anytime. Let it out with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/strangethings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/strangethings.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Coast to Coast AM mobile app is here and waiting for you right now. With the app, you can hear classic shows from the past 7 years, listen to the current live show, and get access to the Art Bell Vault where you can listen to uninterrupted audio. So head on over to the coasttocoastam.com website. We have a handy video guide to help you get the most out of your mobile app usage. All the info is waiting for you now at coasttocoastam.com. That's coasttocoastam.com.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now back to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network and Strange Things.
Strange Things on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. I am your host, the Wizard of Weird, Joshua P. Warren, beaming into your wormhole brain from my studio in Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada, where every day is golden and every night is silver. Agitato Zume. When it comes to the mystery of... my compass. Hang on a second. This is interesting. Lost my train of thought. You may not know this, or you may. I keep a compass next to me while I am recording in my studio here. And this is a very special compass. I bought this compass back in 2012 when I was in Transylvania in Romania. And I was scouring all the little kind of antique shops, and there wasn't a lot of that, believe it or not. And only one time did I find a compass. As soon as I saw it, I was like, I have got to have that. This thing, it's brass, and you can imagine what it looks like. It's about, you know, it's small enough to fit into the palm of my hand. It's very well made. I would not be surprised if it's 100 years old. It's got a little switch on the side, actually, that you can use to stop it from spinning. And I love, this is my favorite compass, obviously. You know, a compass from Transylvania, you kidding me? I mean, compasses are magical items. Einstein, when he was a kid, was inspired by a compass to go into his life of science. So I used to take this with me on investigations sometimes, but I was afraid I would lose it. So now I just keep it here in my studio. And a compass is great because if there's any kind of a powerful electromagnetic anomaly, it will affect the compass and it'll move it in some weird way. And I just looked down and my compass is spinning right now. And that doesn't usually happen. It happened to me, as a matter of fact, I think when I recorded the very first episode of this podcast about 3 years ago. But I don't believe I've seen it happen since. And I have a camera pointed at the sky so that I don't have to run outside every time I think there might be a UFO around, because I do live here, like I say, in Las Vegas. I'm not far at all from Area 51 as the crow flies. And I'm going to keep an eye on this. It's not spinning right now. But I'm telling you, if you are interested in paranormal investigation, you'd be amazed what you can learn from simple, simple tools. And there's no telling. I probably have, oh gosh, well over $100,000 worth of paranormal investigation technology. But something as simple as a compass, it's beautiful, it's elegant. You can use this to determine a lot about whether or not there's paranormal activity. In fact, if you go to my website, joshuapwarren.com, in the Curiosity Shop, there's a PDF you can buy called Poor Man's Paranormal. I think you can get it and several others for something very cheap, like less than $10. You can download them, and it tells you how to use a compass and other things like that, household items for paranormal investigation. So, sorry to get sidetracked, but interesting that happened while I was recording, and I will keep my eye on it, and I'll let you know if I capture anything on my overhead camera. Okay, now, back to the main topic here. I went to sleepfoundation.org, and so here are their bulleted points, key things you need to know about REM sleep. Rapid eye movement sleep is the fourth out of four total stages of sleep. It is characterized by relaxed muscles, quick eye movement, irregular breathing, elevated heart rate, and increased brain activity. Most adults need about 2 hours of REM sleep each night. REM sleep plays a role in memory consolidation, emotional processing, brain development, and dreaming. Okay? But why? You know, that's the question. Why? Why is it that if you don't get this, then apparently you will die if you're like a rat? And, you know, I mentioned I recently did a podcast where I was talking about seeing the aura, and I told you about my cousin Jennifer, who was born blind. And they call that congenitally blind. And apparently, even a person who has never been able to see with their eyes, you know, like my cousin, they still enter REM sleep. It still happens for them. Isn't that strange? It's kind of amazing, I think. It just goes to show how crucial that this state is, that your brain must enter, and it has really nothing to do with your eyes being able to see the world and process the information that has come into your eyeballs during the day. And so when we get back to, you know, this question of, all right, why do you die if you don't get enough of this? Says body temperature is not well regulated during REM sleep, and thus organisms become more sensitive to temperatures outside their thermoneutral zone. Cats and other small furry animals will shiver and breathe faster to regulate temperature during non-REM, but not during REM. Okay, so they have your body has temperature issues when you're in REM sleep. And rats, as I said, who are deprived of this sleep, they die in a few weeks. And it says that their overall body temperature falls continually during this period. That's also interesting. It seems like that there's something about you entering this brain state that's connecting you, your brain, shall we say, with something else that is sending energy into your body. Going back to that wormhole brain. So only mammals and birds? If you have a dog, I'm pretty sure you've seen your dog dream. I read a while back that scientists claimed they couldn't prove that dogs dream, but I can prove dogs dream. My dog has quite a few adventures in her sleep. But what about other animals? Do they dream? I mean, I'm assuming if all mammals dream, and I guess all birds dream, but do reptiles and amphibians and fish? It turns out that these other creatures, they do go into different brain states when they are sleeping, especially reptiles. But that does not mean that it's REM. It's not REM sleep. So I'm not sure what they go into, but it's just like a different level of brainwave activity. And it kind of varies a lot from species to species. But it's not like this common, clear, distinctive thing that mammals and birds have in common. So what's up with the connection between us and birds? Well, when you look into this, officially they say, well, it just shows that somewhere we have a very common ancestor way back there. That's about the best they could come up with on that one. But this really stands out to me because of a personal experience that I had. And I know I've talked about this before. I don't know if I've talked about it on this podcast. I will give you a quick recap. I don't believe that I have ever been visited by aliens or anything like that. It's possible that when I have these dream experiences that I leave my body and I go into these other landscapes and I interact with aliens on an astral level. I don't know. Am I just making all that up, or are there these other places? And you have people like George Lucas who travel there and remember it and come back and create these sets for Star Wars. I don't know. But the most pronounced sort of visitation type experience I ever had, I'm going to say, I can't remember exactly when this was. I want to say off the top of my head, it was maybe like around 2010 or something like that. But I was sleeping, and long story short, I woke up in the middle of the night and I got out of bed. I thought, okay, I'm not saying that this happened in reality, but this is what it seemed like to me. This was a dreamlike experience. I got out of bed and my room looked the same, but different. Okay. It had a kind of a surreal gleam about it. Everything looked weird. And I was almost in a trance. And I walked to my front door and I opened it. And standing there on the stoop of my steps in the house I lived in at that time was what I called the bird god. It was a maybe 5 foot, 5.5 foot tall, upright, bipedal, humanoid figure, but it was a giant blue radiant bird, and it had a beak, and it had the little sprigs that come off the top of its head, kind of like, I don't know, like a quail or something. You've seen those, maybe certain falcons. I can't remember. I wasn't really prepared to talk about this. And I'm standing there mesmerized because there are these beautiful colors coming off of this plumage that I had never seen in this other world, this daily life. And the bird god communicates with me telepathically and says, you know, do not be afraid. They always start by saying, do not be afraid. That kind of is creepy, isn't it? And then you're like, oh, shoot, what is this guy going to do if he's telling me not to be afraid? But no, he was very gentle. He says, do not be afraid. And then he told me there was some very important stuff that was about to happen in the world, and that he wanted me to know that I and my family would be protected, and that I was going to help to teach people the truth. Something along those lines, okay? And then after that, I woke up. But there's a really weird twist ending to that. When we come back, I'm going to tell you that twist ending. I'm going to tell you my conclusion about all this and what the importance of RIM is and what happens, you know, why maybe you die if you don't get it. And then I want to, you know, speaking of like space and sky-oriented stuff, I have some thoughts on this recent craft that was put on the moon. Maybe I'm just being paranoid, but I think there's something fishy about it. You'll see what I mean. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Strange Things on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. And I will be back after these important messages.
Don't go anywhere. There's more Joshua P. Warren and Strange Things coming right up.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpert.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with the Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
She's breathing right now? Yes, she's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com. Over 5 years ago, George Norrie approached me with a unique concept, a dating site for people searching for someone with interests in UFOs, ghosts, Bigfoot, conspiracy theories, and the paranormal. From that, ParanormalDate.com was born. It's a unique site for unique people, and it's free to join to look around. If you want to upgrade and enjoy more of our great features, use promo code George for a great discount. So check it out. You got nothing to lose. ParanormalDate.com.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpert.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with the Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is ufologist Kevin Randall, and you're listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Welcome back to Strange Things on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is the show where the unusual becomes usual. Here's the twist ending to that story. After I saw the bird god, the next day I told Lauren about it, and you know, here's the weird thing. I don't remember Lauren being present. We were in the same bed, in the same bedroom, as far as I can recall. I don't think she was, you know, spending the night with her mom or something like that. I think that she was there, but she was not a part of the dream. When I woke up, it was like I was alone in having this experience. So I sat down, and I told her about it, and I said that was like one of the most crazy, realistic dreams I've ever had. And I even drew a picture of the bird god for her. And I had no idea what it meant. And this blew my mind. Later on that day, Mobius contacted me. Now, you know, Mobius has been my partner in crime for, I don't know, 20 years now. And, you know, he's my chief technology engineer and chief UFO analyst. Mobius contacted me later that day. And he said, did you see him? And I go, what? Mobius told me, okay, I had not opened my mouth a word about this. Mobius told me that last night, he said, this blue bird being had flown over his house and come down and visited him and wanted to give, told him to give me this message. And Mobius said, if I tell Joshua this, he's just going to think I'm bonkers. You're going to have to go tell him yourself. And he said that the bird god was reluctant, but, you know, fine. He went and finally told me himself. When Mobius told me this, I mean, I said, describe this thing to me. He described something very much like what I had seen. And it was, that's one of the most unbelievable jaw-dropping experiences I've ever had in my entire life. So how does that apply to this? Well, it's just funny to me because I didn't know that only mammals and birds enter REM sleep, and I have this kind of profound dream experience, and it related to what I call the bird god. And after that, I started looking into it because there was something distinctly Egyptian feeling about the whole experience. And I've never really studied Egyptian mythology. And well, this may very well have been what the ancients called Horus, H-O-R-U-S. If you've seen pictures of Horus, I'm looking at one right now from the hieroglyphs. It's depicted as a man with a blue head of a bird. It's even got the little sprigs and stuff sticking out. I don't know what you call those, and I don't have time to look it up right now, but you know probably what I mean. It says, he is one of the most significant ancient Egyptian deities who served many functions, most notably as god of kingship, healing, protection, the sun, and the sky. Most often depicted as a falcon, most likely a lanner falcon or peregrine falcon, or as a man with a falcon head. If that was a real experience, then I apparently was visited by what the ancients called Horus to give me this message. I know, that's weird. I'm not telling you that I believe that's what happened, but I'm just explaining to you what my experience is. So having said all that, okay, what exactly is the significance? What is the power of this stage called REM sleep? If you go back, and I told you I was reading an article at sleepfoundation.org about REM sleep. Now, here's a quote from that website. And these are sleep experts. It says, quote, REM sleep deprivation disrupts the brain's ability to generate new cells, end quote. So why is that? Here's the quote again. REM sleep deprivation disrupts the brain's ability to generate new cells, end quote. So if your brain cannot generate new cells, well, I guess you reach a point where you can't reboot the computer anymore. I believe this means you are connected to a larger consciousness. And you have to download and upload information in order to stay alive as an extension of that consciousness. What happens if you never restart your computer? It finally crashes. And this may be proof that humans and some other animals are clearly connected more powerfully to this source. Proof of this thing I call the wormhole brain that I wrote about in my book called The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. You know how that you hear these people who've had near-death experiences say, when I died, my life flashed before my eyes. Well, maybe this is a miniature version of this. That when you are entering REM sleep, it's a small version of your life flashing before your eyes, but it's not literally your life. When you think of your life flashing before your eyes, you think of it as the movie that you see through your physical eyes every day. And that's what you expect to see, a big replay of that film that you've been watching for the past 75 years through your eyeballs. But actually, that's only part of the experience of being a human. Being a human also includes abstract thoughts and being able to piece together concepts and relationships between things. And the ontological aspect of how all these little pieces fit together. And so when your life flashes before your eyes, it's not just literally the physical realm that you've experienced, but it's more than that, which is why you can be congenitally blind and still have this REM sleep with some kind of version of dreaming that maybe it's impossible to explain to other people. So when you are entering REM sleep, it's like that you're plugging your brain into the socket. Again, let's use the computer as an analogy. When you plug your computer into the wall outlet and the little icon switches and shows you it's in charge mode, I think that may be what REM sleep is. That your brain uplinks there, connects with the greater source, and then when your eyeballs start flicking around, that means you are now in you're in charge state. The charge icon has turned on inside your brain. And all this information is being uploaded and downloaded. And some of it makes sense and some of it makes no sense. And some of it actually does include relationships that you have with other dimensions that you're not consciously aware of, other places in the universe. So you're plugging into that socket. And if you don't get that, well, then eventually you're not getting what it takes to generate new cells. And so this mental experience is not able to translate into physical regeneration, and you die. Now, to me, that is paranormal, because it's so outside of the realm of what we can put our hands on and directly experience, and yet we're used to it, because it's actually not paranormal if we all do it. But sometimes what's paranormal just doesn't seem paranormal because that you're used to it, if that makes sense. It's like the moon, for example. Every single time I go outside, I look up and see the moon. I'm like, there's something paranormal about the fact this big bright ball is sitting up there in the sky. We don't even know exactly where it came from. But you know, we're used to it. So that's my conclusion based upon what I've learned so far about REM and REM sleep and the role that it plays and what it means to enter that phase as a human. It gets more complicated when you start breaking it down into other species that don't enter REM. And again, you know, that's, you could probably read a whole book about that. But speaking of the moon, of course, recently, I'm sure you saw, I'm looking at one of the news stories here, this private company in Houston put this craft called the Odysseus on the moon, so they say. And I was watching through, I guess, the NASA channel live when this happened, and they kept showing simulations of this craft landing on the moon, but no actual footage. And I was like, where's the footage? Where's the footage? And finally, you saw the people in the control room, and they're sitting there, oh, we did it! Yay, we did it! And I'm sitting there confused at first, because 55 years ago, in 1969, when Apollo 11 landed on the moon and Neil Armstrong stepped onto the moon, that was being broadcast live to the entire world, so they say. They used technology that was first developed in 1928 by the Scottish innovator named John Logie Baird to develop a small, robust television camera that enabled the live broadcast from that mission. Okay, so in 1969, 55 years ago, we have a camera that was first developed in 1928 that showed us that live. But here in 2024, when everybody is running around with cheap little cameras that are, everybody's Spielberg now, people have a camera hidden in their bow tie, we don't have footage of this thing lit. Okay, got to take a break. When we come back, I'll tell you more about what I think about that and about a man who says he met somebody who saw the Roswell UFO crash. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Strange Things on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. And I will be right back.
Don't go anywhere. There's more Strange Things coming right up.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you know that tests that could save your life from cancer are now available for little or no cost thanks to the healthcare law called the Affordable Care Act? Let this be the year you get screening tests that can detect cancer early when it's most treatable. Don't let concerns get in the way. Talk to a doctor or other medical professional to learn more about the best cancer testing options for you.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Sandra Champlain. Ever wonder what happens when we die? Well, I'm going to make it easier for you to understand. Join me for my show, Shades of the Afterlife. New shows come out every Friday, so I'll be looking for you. Right here on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Back to the final segment of this edition of Strange Things on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren. And there was recently, maybe like a week ago, a news story over at Fox News about just how crucial it is to get a good night's sleep. If you have sleep apnea, then they say that that can cause all kinds of problems with cardiovascular disease, heart attacks, strokes, aneurysms. I even had a friend who was in his 50s and thin, seemed to be perfectly healthy and good spirits. He laid down on his couch one night and went to sleep, and the next morning his wife found him dead, and it was because of sleep apnea. And so it's very important for you to also consider that physical aspect of being able to get a good night's rest. I want to mention that for sure. In fact, I am planning on going to have a sleep study soon to see if I might be able to improve some of my sleep habits. But going back to this craft that they landed, the Odysseus mission. I have never been one of those people who believes that we didn't put men on the moon. Okay. I've always believed that that was true, that it did happen. But, I also think that there was a lot of fake footage, fake imagery that was also produced as a part of that project, because this was during the height of the Cold War. And so if they weren't sure what they were going to see up there, then I bet you there was a plan to release some kind of footage to make it look like that if there had been a problem, maybe that there wasn't a problem. They wanted it to look like things were going more smoothly. Or if they discovered something amazing that they didn't want the Russians to know about, then, you know, they would have the footage they could cut to. Or if they encountered aliens, they would have the footage they could cut to. It's certainly difficult to figure out how much of the footage out there is legit and how much is not. And what makes this even more amazing is that, believe it or not, the original reels from that broadcast of Neil Armstrong and those guys on the moon. I mean, I'm talking about the reels that contain the telemetry, as they call it, for the slow scan TV record of the first moonwalk. They're gone. They're missing. Most historians say that, oh, they were probably just erased and reused for later NASA missions. Don't tell me there's not something fishy about that. So here it is, 2024, when, like I say, every Tom, Dick, and Harry has a who knows how many little tiny cameras that operate off of batteries that cost next to nothing, little lightweight batteries. Everything's being filmed now. And these people at this company, they're going to land this craft on the moon, going back for the first time in all these decades, making history, and they're not going to be able to stream us a live view of this in real time. That's just unbelievable to me. And I'm thinking maybe they were concerned about what would be shown. If there are other little things flying around up there, or there is some other technology up there, that's all I can come up with. And it turns out that mission, they say, was, you know, it didn't turn out so well because at some point this thing tipped over and its solar panels started losing light. And so, you know, they weren't able to continue the mission. But still, isn't that just, I don't know, that's a little bit too much for coincidence in my book. Well, when I did a podcast recently talking about space and space technology and all these things, I was talking about Roswell and the book The Day After Roswell. And I posted this on my Facebook page. If you're on Facebook, you can find my personal Facebook page, and you can also find the Facebook page for the show, Strange Things. And I hope that you will follow both of them. And I got a comment here from an author named John Russell. And he's a fascinating guy. He's also a psychic, and he's had experiences with every kind of paranormal thing you can imagine. And he commented saying, when I was in Roswell, I met an eyewitness to the Roswell UFO crash. It was an amazing experience, and I wrote about it in my second book. So I asked John Russell, well, what's the name of that book? And he said, it's called A Knock in the Attic: True Ghost Stories and Other Spine-Chilling Paranormal Adventures. So I found his book on Amazon, was able to instantly read it as a Kindle. It's a great read. And I found that section where he's talking about Roswell. And I asked him if I could read that excerpt to you on this podcast. And he said, absolutely. So John Russell, thank you for giving me permission to do that. I don't know right off the bat that I've ever heard of anybody saying that they saw the craft crash, you know? So anyway, here's what he says in his book. In July of 1998, I decided I would go to Alien Encounter 98 in Roswell, New Mexico, and perform psychic readings there. I paid my vendor fee, rented a car, and drove to Roswell. While there, I had two amazing experiences. One, I got to see Stanton Friedman lecture in person. Two, I had a, quote, alien encounter of my very own while waiting for the Roswell UFO Museum to open. Early one morning, I was standing on the sidewalk in front of the Roswell International UFO Museum and Research Center when a woman came walking down the sidewalk, and for some reason, we struck up a conversation. I explained to her that I was waiting for the UFO museum to open. She asked me if I'd been to the museum before. I told her no, that as a matter of fact, this was my very first time to visit Roswell, even though I was born in New Mexico. She asked if I was on vacation. I explained to her I was a psychic and I was giving readings at Alien Encounter 98. We conversed a little longer. And then her next statement shocked me so much, I'm sure I struggled to keep my mouth from hanging open. Quote, when we were kids, she said, my brother and I were playing outside and we saw the UFO come over and then crash off in the distance, end quote. I'm sure my eyes had widened. I was in awe. She continued, quote, we could tell it was in distress. We weren't surprised that it went down. And we knew beyond a shadow of a doubt what we saw. It was not a helicopter. It was not a plane. It was not a weather balloon or a blimp. It was a UFO, a flying saucer. End quote. And then he says, wow. We talked a little longer, and she also told me that many of the townspeople had been threatened if they talked about the UFO, especially those who had actually seen it, as she and her brother had. The clear implication, or in reality threat, was that if a person talked about what they had seen, their bones, as well as those of family members, would be found out in the desert. She said there were still some townspeople who were afraid after all these years, and then she suddenly whipped her head left and right several times, looking up and down the street, and then said abruptly, I've said too much. I shouldn't talk. I'm sorry. Goodbye. End quote. And she hurried off down the street, leaving me dumbfounded and standing alone once again in front of the museum as I waited for it to open. He said, I saw some interesting exhibits that day, but nothing was as interesting as what that woman told me. This woman's experience certainly goes a long way toward explaining why witnesses to UFO incidents may be reluctant to come forward and testify. Another reason a great deal of secrecy surrounds these events is that those in the military and the government who swear oaths of secrecy really do honor those oaths. An example was my good buddy, Bill, Major Bill. We'd be well into our cups, and sometimes conversations would turn to UFOs, military technology, things Bill had seen when he was briefly a pilot, and he would begin to tell me some astounding things and then suddenly censor himself, even when the info was not classified, and he'd go, ah, I've said too much. That's all I'm going to say. Now you forget you heard that. No more. I'm not going to discuss it anymore, so don't ask. End quote. John Russell says, so people really do take those oaths of secrecy quite seriously. Yeah, something to think about. How about that? Can you imagine witnessing that thing crash at Roswell? I think it happened during broad daylight. What a view that would have been. My goodness. Well, we've covered a lot, as usual, on this edition of the show. I hope you've enjoyed it. But now, why don't we all just unwind? Let's think about manifesting a really good, positive, healthy, abundant, prosperous week for yourself, for all of your friends and loved ones. Okay, take some deep breaths. If you can, close your eyes. We're all going to listen together to this tone. It lasts 20 seconds. It's the one, the only, the exclusive, the original good fortune tone. That's it for this edition of the show. Follow me on Twitter at Joshua P. Warren. Plus, visit joshuapwarren.com to sign up for my free e-newsletter to receive a free instant gift, and check out the cool stuff in the Curiosity Shop, all at joshuapwarren.com. I have a fun one lined up for you next time, I promise. So please tell all your friends to subscribe to this show, and to always remember the golden rule. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your interest and support. Thank you for staying curious. And I will talk to you again soon. You've been listening to Strange Things on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Thanks for listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Make sure and check out all our shows on the iHeartRadio app or by going to iHeartRadio.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.